The opinions on this show are ours and ours alone.
All information is for entertainment purposes only.
This content is intended for mature audiences.
So press start and come join our game.
Hot damn. Gonna make say my name.
Retire, man.
Oh.
Yeah.
Too hot. Say my name, you know who I am. Too hot.
That's weird. I don't know why.
Damn. Girl, I'm about that money.
To it, so.
Girls hit you, hallelujah. Ooh.
Girls hit you, hallelujah.
Ooh.
Girls hit you, hallelujah.
Ooh.
Uptown Funk gon' give it to you.
Uptown Funk gon' give it's Friday night and we in the spot. Don't believe me, just watch.
And go.
Welcome back to another episode of Waiting for Players. I'm Adam.
I'm John.
I'm Adam.
Peter.
Like, you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
You gave me a look like you didn't know you were 100%. Like,
he's all, I'm Peter?
Yeah. I just feel like so,
look,
you
were looking for me for my acknowledgement.
Like, I feel like so odd because I don't, my name's not John. Then we could be
Adam, John.
Well, you, it could be your mic name, bro.
Yeah, but then you have to go through all this, figuring out real Adam.
Fake. Yeah, it's a big pain in the ass. You don't want it. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Apparently, you're sexy Adam on Bad Flicks
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I am. So. I'm sexy Adam.
I don't know how you guys voted that through.
No one voted anything.
I pushed it through.
Because I said so?
Because he's breaking through ceilings.
Yep. Because I'm sexy and I push that sexy through.
I thought it was because you didn't like being called fake Adam.
No, I just like being called sexy more. That's all.
I think I'm going to push through J-Spark then.
No.
Hey, you do what
no
you got.
No one's going to let that happen.
What?
I like how everybody lets sexy Adam slide, but everybody's like, whoa, whoa, J-Spark, no.
Are we letting sexy Adam slide?
Yeah, I'm not.
Yes, we are.
I think it's already slipped.
Well, because of that, I claimed real Adam, so.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
I'm going to call him fuggy
Perfect.
Adam.
Whoa.
And I'm not going to respond to that.
You just did.
Anymore.
Everybody gets one.
So what the fuck have you guys been up to this week?
Ooh.
The usual, John?
Ooh.
More that CSGO?
Yeah.
Gold
Nova 1, suckers, play with me.
Nice. All right.
That's it.
I actually didn't really get much gaming in this week. I did a little bit of City Skylines because I love that game.
Fair
I
enough.
Actually started a new city because I wanted to try again with my horrible traffic. And you know,
didn't you just add a lane? Be a man.
Yeah, it didn't work.
A man.
I added a highway and it didn't work.
Oh, you had
lots of roundabouts. That's the way to go. And one-way streets. Roundabouts control. And one-way streets.
bottleneck everybody into a giant parking lot.
Also played a little bit of Kerbal Space Program.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking love that game, and I actually haven't played in a while. So
never played that game, but it looks like it's fun.
I'm waiting for version 1 is coming out probably in the next couple weeks, so I'll be talking about that game then. So
I look forward to it.
Yeah.
I actually started, I don't know if any of you guys have caught me on Steam playing either Black Flags. I went back and started Assassin's Creed 4.
I saw you playing that, yeah.
And then I also started playing DCU Online again.
Oh,
what? Yeah. I actually started playing that again.
I installed it. I haven't played yet.
Yeah, for reasons, you know.
What kind of hero are you? Are you a villain?
I'm a villain, and right now I am a flying fire user that has hand blasters. So I just go around, like, projecting energy and fire and hurt on people is pretty rad.
And all the hurt.
And the hurt.
He's like, I bring the sorrow.
No, it's actually, like, there's a lot more added to the game when it first got released. Unfortunately, if you want to build you can even build a Red Lantern now, which is super fucking cool. Yeah, you can build a Rage Lantern.
Nice.
Aw, man.
But you have to buy them.
Oh.
So you have to buy the class?
You have to buy the class, yeah.
Damn.
So you can buy, if you want to do green or yellow, that's one clump, so you can buy that. There's Earth is a power you can choose now. Rage, light. No, light. I'm sorry. Light is the green and the yellow. There's a couple other ones, or you can buy them all as a bundle and save a few dollars.
Interesting microtransaction thing going.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be the Red Lantern.
I want to build one so bad.
Tired
so
of getting wrecked by Red Lanterns. Buy it.
It's only $6, and I can build a Red Lantern.
Hmm.
Josh is pre-ordering now.
Josh's like, $6, you say?
He's like, how much is the Lantern Corps pack? Yeah, actually, no, we did get a message, didn't we? About a game?
We got a couple tweets. Yeah, a couple direct messages on Twitter about Neuron Ball.
Almost,
yes. Almost, yeah.
So
you should know because you played for the last hour and a half or so.
Can you really call this playing a game?
This is your Neuron soccer team management game. Okay.
That's what it is.
You get to
as one does.
So you have your neurons set.
Spheros.
Your spheros. Yes.
They're totally
your
spheros.
Circles.
Set on the field, and you get to like adjust the way they lay out on the field, so like your formation, and then once you've set your formation, you play people, and then they actually play themselves. I spent about 10 seconds trying to control it, and then I scored a goal and realized they didn't need me. They were all grown up. They no longer needed
spent
Papa.
Spent the remainder of the time screaming at his laptop.
Yeah. Like he was watching an actual football or soccer game.
Take it to the hole! Take it to the hole! No! No!
Go! It was pretty...
Yeah. Damn, ear critting. So, they're not lying, though. I've decided...
That's about how loud John was. Yeah.
There's only one way to enjoy this game, and that is to drink beer and to just get into it. You gotta love your little... Your neuron spheros.
What was your favorite one?
Mine is Thunder Mox. Thunder Knox.
Thunder Knox.
I thought you were playing a game.
Sounds
right
like
now.
A porn name. I'm sorry. But I know. Thunder Knox.
No, and he is. He's the captain. Okay, he's the captain of my team. You get to mod them out, so they have batteries, and then different batteries have different performance ratings. So like you can do the standard like upgrade of the standard battery, which is like the most balanced. So best energy efficiency, as well as maintaining movement speed. They have a plutonium based battery. That is way heavier and it slows your guy down, but it makes him stronger when he hits stuff.
Does he explode?
So my defenders are using the heavy plutonium batteries, so when they smash into their forwards, you just knock them back. And then you can chip him. And so, like, my goalie, I realized I could upgrade and chip him to be a goalkeeper.
Like, it can have different components and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, the chip, there's just a bunch of chips. And so, like, my goalkeeper is now chipped to be a goalkeeper, so he acts like one. When the ball's coming up, he moves around in the goal.
Nice.
The defenders, I gave them defender chips, so now that they're just focused on defending the goal and getting up on the forwards. And then I gave Thunder Knox the striker position, which he gets right up in their defenders. And then I gave number 44, Plane Pour.
Oh, good old Plane Pour.
Plane Pour. I gave him the kicker chip, which allows he kicks towards the striker. Mm. So my striker gets up in their shit, and then Plane Board comes in.
How does a sphere kick?
I think it bumps.
Okay.
Can you rename?
Noggin.
Can you rename?
You know, I was trying, and I didn't put a whole lot of a lot of effort into it, to be perfectly honest with
but
you.
But it just, so far, like, they just ran regenerates the names or whatever.
Yeah. Now, I did get to name my team Slutbusters, which I was really excited about.
And if we're not mistaken, Slutbusters is doing pretty damn good, aren't they?
They've got a solid record going.
What's their record?
Let me get back to the other page because I'm on this one. Let's see.
One thing that, while he looks it up, one thing I thought was cool is, although it is just kind of a team manager, it's a browser-based game. So you don't have to download anything.
It's free to play.
And it's free to play. You just jump right in and start having a little bit of fun.
You don't even have to put in your email is what it said in the Twitter, but I guess if you want to save your team, then...
Once you close
it. Yeah, so if you want to save your team exactly, you have to actually put in your email address, which I'm going to do. I'm not going to lie.
If you can even make up a bogus one for this if you wanted to. Like, it's just an email address.
I honestly don't care.
We knew he was addicted because Adam and I walked in, and he's hovering over his laptop with the John thinking face, which is essentially like a blank stare with his mouth kind of open.
And his cigarette was like half burnt and hadn't been ashed at all, so just like a pillar of ash off a butt of a cigarette.
Hey, this is some serious business up in this BZ, okay? You don't understand.
We started this game off like we all have no idea what we're doing, and now he's like, oh, put this character here, and then,
And you can do adjust the formation, which I thought was—I thought it was kind of cool. That
I'm rated number 6 in Washington, homies. So this
is why how many out of 6 people that play in Washington.
We run in and gun into the top here.
Does it say how many players there are? Or?
There's national rankings.
Let's see your national ranking.
Probably 6. 15.
I don't have one.
There's like no one playing this game.
I really don't think there is. Ooh, I got a match. Better get that rolling. Okay. It's actually kind of fun, though. So,
it is a lot of fun watching you play that
yeah,
game. I agree with that.
100%. I could watch you play all day.
So, I'm five... where am I? I'm there. So, I've already played 10 matches, and I'm 5-3-2. So, I've got 5 wins, 3 losses, and 2 draws.
Nice.
But for the longest time, I didn't know how to upgrade their components, so I was running standard people and just upgrading their attributes, but yeah. not their actual components. Once I upgraded their components, like the last game I won 5-1. Okay, nice. I played soccer for 13 years. I think I know what I'm doing.
Well, excuse us.
Pretty fun, though.
I read said you can have up to 20 of them, but only like 5 play at a time or
5
something.
5 play at a time, but the thing is the more of them you buy, you can cycle them out. And they can charge their batteries. Because you can use fast charge packs, which I've been using, but pretty much out of them. And I ain't buying them, that's for damn sure. Game's cool, it's not that cool. Doesn't
so there, there is an option
he
to buy it,
that
though,
now.
Huh?
Yeah.
He says that now.
I'm going to go buy a 100-pack when I get home.
It's like, don't understand about it yet, it's because I don't have my wallet.
Next week I'm going to be like, so, I'm 650 games in, you know, ranked number 2 in the nation.
I'm broke.
Does it work on the cell phone? Does it work on the cell phone?
I'm going, I have no idea. If you,
because it works on your cell phone,
I tried to load it up
on
my phone, but I couldn't get it to work. So, but I didn't try that hard because I just I was like, hey, John can load it up on his laptop, and he's been playing ever since.
Yeah.
So it's an entertaining game.
Yeah, no, definitely. And then like the neurons they bunch up on the ball, and if they all get bunched up on the ball to avoid a stalemate, kind of just repulses everybody, and they go spinning, and the ball kind of kicks out of there, and it gets the game rolling again, which is nice. So there's a mechanic to stop
rolling.
It from getting hung up.
And is there some way to chat with the person that you're playing against? Or
Yeah, there's a chat box. I haven't been very nice to my opponents, I won't lie.
Talking that shit.
Someone with a team called Slutbusters can't be a nice guy.
Yeah. Get in the goal. My goalie's overheating, though, so that's I've never seen this before. He keeps bursting into flames and shooting off smoke.
That doesn't sound good.
Doesn't sound good. This may be a rough one for the Slutbusters. But anyways, it's a pretty fun game.
Moving on.
We'll probably tweet that out or something.
Get in there, Thunderdog!
So, I wanted to talk a little bit about Bloodborne this week.
Okay.
It came out on March 24th. It's a PS4 exclusive. It's from Software. From Software is the developers. I watched an 18-minute. IGN has the first 18 minutes or 18-minute gameplay trailer on there. I watched that. It's an amazing fucking looking game.
Really? Okay.
I'll link that video up on the site so everyone else can see it.
John's over here dancing in celebration.
Oh, Jesus.
It was a quiet celebration.
Still distracting.
The Slutbuster scored, okay?
I assumed.
Anyway, it's very similar to like Demon Souls, Dark Souls.
Made by some of the same people, right?
Yeah, I believe it's made by the same... is it the same person or developer?
Person.
Because they went to different development teams.
Yeah, they've had weird problems with that whole genre before because they had Demon Souls, which technically would be Dark Souls 1, and Dark Souls 1 would be 2, and 2 would be 3. But they, because of the publisher, they didn't have the rights to use that name, so that's why they made Dark Souls 1.
Gotcha.
But they're all so similar. Actually... they're very similar, but I think Demon Souls is probably the hardest one.
I played a little bit of that. I never played in the Dark Souls ones, but yeah, Demon Souls is definitely hard. I didn't finish it, so
great RPG games. Yeah. I mean, if you like min maxing,
it's fun. It just gets frustrating when you get so far and then kicked back to the
kicked back to. Well, I don't know what it is in the bonfire in Dark Souls, but I don't know what it's going to be in Bloodborne. What thing you have to attune to.
Yeah, I think it's the... I don't know. I think it says the Hunter's Dream is the safe zone, is what I was reading.
I see.
So I think you just go back to that,
okay.
And then you can pick whatever worlds or levels that you're going
to
go
to. Yeah, in Dark Souls,
okay.
You have a bonfire, you know? And if you get to a certain point in the game, then you can light a bonfire and sit at it, and then if you die, then you go back to the last bonfire you sat at.
Gotcha.
Oh, okay.
Which is really cool in speedrunning, because I was just watching an hour-long speedrun of Dark Souls, because that's what I'm going to talk about this week, is that they'll only sit at certain bonfires, so that way when they're done fighting a boss, they go back to the most optimal place for the speedrun that they're doing.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
nice.
Yeah.
In the video we watched, the guy started out with what, like a gun, like a musket kind of gun?
A blunderbuss.
Okay.
A,
Yeah, blunderbuss.
Yes, like it was like this huge cleaver that like just like a switchblade kind of. Mm-hmm. You know?
It was extended. Yeah. It was in the animation for it's really cool because he kind of lifts his hand up to his shoulder and then like a whip just shoots it down and the thing just pops out.
Yeah.
And then he's got all this extra range.
It's like a foldable machete.
That's kind awesome.
Of, yeah. There's
it's like an asp.
A bunch of fighting characters that have similar weapons, but they don't kind of extend like mm-hmm. that, where they have a huge blade right at the fist. Right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what you call them, but
it's the kind of game you want to like, you know, turn off all the lights and scare the crap out of yourself. Have nightmares.
Fair enough.
It's just the first few minutes were terrifying.
And you were watching it on your phone.
Yeah.
Have vagina-based zombies
coming. The sound is awesome. Just like these horror and screams in the background. And
I don't know.
There's this one point where he's opening the gate and just the creaking of the like he opens it so slow, you know, just the creaking
the old-fashioned
of the gate.
Horror gate.
We got to in the video. It shows a boss fight. He lost
against the cleric beast, which was some sort of werewolf bird.
Well, his life bar was like the whole length of the screen. Yeah. He got maybe like fourth of the way.
That's generous. You're being generous. And he wasn't by any means a bad player, because I've played Dark Souls and Demon Souls, Dark Souls 1 and Demon Souls, and he was dodging and blocking and doing what he should have done. I just don't think he was. I think they just wanted to show you die, because I don't think he had the equipment to fight that boss yet.
They probably wanted to round it out to 18 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's my understanding, like, you can summon other players to it. To help you with boss fights.
Yeah.
Because there is a multiplayer component to this game.
It's probably exactly like it's probably exactly like Dark Souls 1 and Dark Souls 2 or Demon Souls, where you can essentially turn on multiplayer and summon friends to help you, or you can get invaded by other players. And they summon, like today while I was playing Dark Souls, because I think I'm like about a quarter of the way through the game now, because I've just been nose to the grindstone, because I really like that game. I summoned this guy to help me with the gargoyles boss in the Undead Parish, and as soon as I was done summoning this NPC to help me fight the bosses, I was about to go through the light wall, which is essentially what you go through to start fighting the boss, and then right behind me a fucking player like just comes out of the ground and just starts killing me, and I'm just like, what the fuck.
Actually, it is just like that. I was just looking at the wiki.
Yeah.
That's how it describes
it.
It's
really fun. But the cool thing about people invading you is you can hide. Because in Demon Souls, I had someone invade me, and I was having a particular problem, a hard time with this certain part. Because this dragon, it was this bridge, and this dragon goes over and just kills everything on it. And so then someone invaded me, and then I just started getting souls from nowhere. And so you're getting all the souls for everything that the invading player is killing. And I'm just like, I'm not going to show myself. I'm just gonna stay down in this little under thing and then wait for him to leave, but I'll definitely benefit. And then as soon as he left, I went up on top of the bridge and there's all of these dead bodies with items on them. I'm like, I'll take that.
So when they invade you, it like tells you when somebody's invaded your game.
Well, in Demon Souls, I don't know the exact requirements for when they can invade you. I think you have to be, because in Demon Souls, when you die, it's similar to Dark Souls, but when you die, you actually become weaker, and you have less health and stamina than you normally would. But when you're a human, because in Dark Souls 1, you're a hollow, and you can get this stuff called humanity, sit at a bonfire, and then turn yourself into a human. And then when you're a human, people can invade you. Only when you have regained your humanity can people invade you.
Well, this here says that it's when you summon other expending a consumable item, players can summon other players to help with boss battles. Mm-hmm. And it says that leaves you vulnerable to invasions then.
Yeah.
So,
because I'm sure it'll be similar, because in Dark Souls there's an item that you can purchase from vendors that essentially says invade another player's world. And it just chooses a random player. So then I guess you're in the matchmaking queue.
But
at that
point, the gameplay is the same, but the story has nothing to do with. Like, you don't have to have played Dark Souls or anything to enjoy.
Same with Demon Souls. You didn't need to play Demon Souls. You didn't need to play Demon Souls to play Dark Souls.
They were more like, I don't know, spiritual sequels or successors kind of thing, instead of just a direct sequel.
I don't know if Dark Souls 2 is literally a sequel. like to Dark Souls 1. And like, what I've noticed about the game is that there's a lot of lore in the game, but you don't really need to follow it. Like, you really don't. There's not a lot of story. There's not, like, character development. I mean, you can talk to people, and they have kind of some lore behind them, but there's not a character that you're following the whole game. So you don't even really need to fucking pay attention to that. You just need to play the game.
Well, it looks like the style's kind of like 1800s, yeah, post-apocalyptic kind of.
I think we decided that it looks like Transylvania.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 1800 with the blunderbuss and stuff.
The name of the city is Harnham, or Yharnam? I guess it's Yharnam. So
interesting.
That's the name of the city you're playing in. It says that it's plagued with an illness.
Yeah. They're sick.
It doesn't really go into.
Everybody's got
it. It transforms most of its citizens into bestial creatures.
Ooh, that's a rare form of the HIV.
It's Resident Evil 4.
Well, you watched some of this, the gameplay trailer too, right?
Yeah. With Peter.
Mm-hmm. That's some crazy looking shit in there.
I'd say that's really similar to just like how the Dark Souls storyline is, because everybody in the Dark Souls storyline is undead, and then eventually, if you don't keep your humanity up in the storyline, you become like a mindless hollow, and then those people, like, it's kind of similar. But from my understanding, one of the core developers of Dark Souls, the guy that was the director of Dark Souls 1 is the same director of Bloodborne, so they're similar. I think it's
director Hitaka. Miyazaki.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, Miyazaki.
I think Dark Souls 2. Let me see. I think Dark Souls 2 wasn't the same. Didn't have the same director, and so they had, to my knowledge, had kind of a different direction with that game.
Yeah.
Dark Souls 2 wasn't as dark as Dark Souls 1 was. But this game is really dark, which is awesome. I find that to be.
This game is the first. We were talking a little bit about this earlier.
Yeah, see, it's like different directors. See, Dark Souls 2 has two different directors.
Okay, yeah.
And so, yeah, I think that this will be a lot similar to Dark Souls 1.
Right.
In a lot of respects, just because of the art direction. Like, him being the director, the art direction is probably going to be kind of similar.
It looks like a really good game. So, yeah. It's one of the first PS4 games that have come out that I've really
exclusive
been.
Exclusive title.
Yeah, that makes me want to get a PS4 to play.
Yeah,
it, so. It looks like it's available on disc and for download too, probably through PlayStation Now or whatever service they have.
PSN.
Well, yeah, it's all PSN. Yeah. So, but I'm really excited. I'll definitely check this game out once I get a PS4, which will be sooner than later. Now,
will it? Yeah. PS3 going out?
No.
Because of this?
No, you just downgrade that to Blu-ray player.
And I still have a working PS2.
So do I. Yeah. I got that skinny one. It's still up. No one ever played.
I got the big fat one. TV. So. Yeah. That's pretty much all I got on it. And none of us have actually played this game yet. It just looks really awesome. Wanted to showcase it a bit. So.
Yeah, show it up. Yep. All right, I'm talking about Outward. Okay. Before you get all excited, because I always want to crush your dreams, Outward isn't going to come out for like 2 years.
Oh, you lift me up. Bring me down.
Well, I'm about to lift you up even higher, but I wanted to crush you early. So, you know, when I got done talking, you're like, where can I get this game? It's like nowhere, man. Fucking nowhere.
Well, you can support the Kickstarter,
The Kickstarter. So it is up on Kickstarter right now. They've only had 316 backers, but they've raised $21,000. A little over $21,000.
Oh, wow.
And they got 28 days to go. They have a really, really cool game idea. And so Outward is an open-world RPG, and it's basically this with a focus on simulating the life of an adventurer and not a legendary hero. So you're never going to be super awesome strong. You're never going to be some god-mode adventurer with insane abilities that just walks through the world and wrecks everything. Because that's not the purpose of the game. And they basically asked themselves one question when they went to start developing Outward, and their question to themselves was, what would it really be like to live the life of an adventurer? Like, hard. To actually live. Yeah. Hard. And they sure put an emphasis on the fact that that living in the world by yourself as an adventurer is hard. Like, you have to have shelter, so it shows them, like, you know, you have a tent you carry with you.
I thought the tent animation was pretty cool.
The tent animation is pretty rad.
Most of the building animations looked really interesting to me. Him building the fire.
Yeah. The way the sticks go together and stuff. And And then you need a flint to start a fire. Mm. There is magic in this game. Magic isn't just like a press a button and cast a spell. So the more powerful the spell, the more steps you'll have to do in sequence to actually do it.
So it's so almost you, like actually casting a spell.
Yeah, so some casting in combat, for instance, doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because first you have to cast like this ritual ring on the ground, and then you have to cast something else for the fire ability that like puts a crystal in the sky, and then you can cast fireballs from that crystal above that ring at your enemy. So it's a good way to start off attacking, but then again wouldn't make sense in the middle of a fight to start trying to cast cast spells. Spells, not spills. Right from the start, it's completely open world, which means there are absolutely zero restrictions on where you go.
Uh-huh.
And they basically just say you need to be clever enough to survive. And being clever is a big part of this, because fighting people and stuff like that, like, in this world, everybody gets stronger while you get stronger. And so, you can't go to a level one area and start kicking some ass if you wanted to. Like, it doesn't work that way.
Because everything's roughly the same level you are.
Peter made a good comment when I showed him the video. It has a chivalry-esque, like, combat system with parrying and attacking and stuff like that. And they're telling you, you know, like, if you're going to fight somebody who looks like a badass, maybe you want to make sure you lure them into an area where you have an advantage over them. Or maybe start off with magic attacks. Blast them a couple fireballs from a distance, you know? And then whip out the sword. I mean, everything from shelter to fire for warmth and cooking food to needing fire to boil your drinking water so that it's safe to drink and you won't get sick. so they say they got fully envisioned survival mechanics, which is, I find, really interesting. The game looks really fun. It's actually pretty pretty for being so new.
Yeah, it looks
pretty
really,
pretty.
It looks it does really look awesome. Really good. There's such a long wait for it.
Yeah.
Which is summer. They're showing the stuff that they have the most done.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, and that's how you Kickstarter.
So. Yeah, you're not gonna show them like some lightly rendered section where it's like we have terrain with nothing on it.
Speaking of that, the weather system.
Yeah, I'm getting the weather system. We'll jump to that. The weather system is super awesome. So, if it's snowing, for instance, and you go to bed when it's snowing and you wake up, the snow actually accumulates like real snow on the ground. So the longer it snows, the thicker the snow becomes on the surface.
Right.
And the trees and the rocks. And so over time, while you're playing, the mountains that were just mountains in the springtime, you're now in the middle of winter. You'll actually get to watch them progress and become snow-covered caps and stuff like that.
Snow seems pretty damn impressive.
Yeah.
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 Seems like it would take a lot of processing power, too. Depends on how they're simulating the snowflakes or whatever.
Yeah, how they're doing it.
And they probably do it to some sort of algorithm. Because, like, if it's been snowing for this long, then it raises this far.
Yeah.
But it's still really cool.
They have a time-lapse of the snow accumulation on their Kickstarter. And it was just a really neat thing to look at. It makes it look like a really, really interesting way for weather, because weather is a huge factor in the game. For instance, if it's cold and you're not wearing enough clothes, character's going
to
die.
Can the snow be so high that you have to, like, trudge?
Yeah.
Like, and have snowshoes and stuff?
Didn't say anything about snowshoes.
But it will slow
But it
movement.
Will get thicker, and
nice.
Yeah, you will see your character trudging through it. It didn't even say it would slow you down, though, so I don't know. There's not that many specifics on it. I do like what they call dynamic player defeat, which I'm just going to read it for you real quick. It says, losing a fight against a group of bandits won't simply have you looking at a game over screen. Instead, you might wake up to find yourself being held for ransom or being dragged into the woods and left for dead after they've looted your belongings. So I think that's a really interesting way to do it.
Yeah.
So, like, losing to bandits doesn't mean you just die and restart at a save point,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you just start over. And like, oh, I'm going to fight them again.
You know, they took all your shit
exactly,
and then left you in the woods.
And now you got to fight to survive even harder.
Yeah.
Which to me is just a really, really interesting mechanic. I think that could be frustrating and fun. And the questing mechanics in the game aren't static like it is in a lot of RPGs. There will never be a person standing there with a question mark over their head or an exclamation point waiting for you. So stuff happens in real time while you're playing.
Right.
And so if they ask you to help them defend their village from some bandits that are coming to attack it, and you're like, okay, but I'm going to finish this first. They said you could go there, finish what you're doing, come back to help them defend their village, and see you're too late and have the whole village razed and burned to the ground.
Nice.
And, you know, or there's a political coup in a village and they want you to help, like, defeat a certain faction and you don't, and they might be the new dominant faction.
Right.
Somebody needs you to help, you know, take them somewhere, but you ran into them on a walking path. It's one of those things where you have to decide whether or not you're going to drop what you're doing and escort this person, or they're, because life continues without you.
Right.
And they keep telling you that. Like, everything keeps going whether or not you decide to jump in. That's all your choice.
Is there,
that's awesome.
That is really, like, cool.
If you're logged out of the game, does the life continue while you're logged out?
They do not say.
It seems, is it mainly like a single player game or?
No, it's multiplayer right out of the box. So it sounds like it might be console. I think it'd be better on PC. But they were saying if you want to get in right as soon as you get the game and you want to play with a friend, you can automatically toss them a controller and play split screen in the same room and have the exact same immersive experience as your friend is having. And you can also do stuff where, like, they showed hunting and he shoots, well, in split screen, he shoots at a deer. The deer starts running and he hit the deer. And the deer starts running, but he shot it and he scared it towards his friend who was up on the hill. And the deer comes running up the hill and runs right at his homie, and his homie shoots it and drops it with the final arrow.
Which looked really realistic to me.
Yeah, it was it's a really cool mechanic where it shows that, like, playing with friends can be extremely helpful in your survival because you can actually work as a group and as a team and make difficult tasks easier, like hunting deer, you know? Because they're pretty quick. It shows them as soon as he shoots and, like, starts moving and spooks them, they start running pretty good. And so unless you're a hell of a shot and you can rain arrows down on its back, you know, maybe homeboy up on the hill drops it for you. That's what you need. Split up the goodies. Really, really fun-looking game. I'm really... I was iffy on bringing it up because their estimated delivery date, again, is June of 2017.
Did you say how close they are to playable alpha?
They're about $100,000 short of their funding goal on Kickstarter, but they got 28 days to go. And so I have faith. I think gamers that come across this, if you guys check it out, pre-ordering, you can get a copy of the game for like $35. It's $28 US, so I don't know what currency they're using, but the dollar is more powerful. So it's probably like the peso. but I mean, they have some really interesting packs all the way to the top. So, like, they have a lot of, like, really cool things to the point where, like, if you donate so much money, let me find it here. There it is. For $1,000, you get the legendary blacksmith. So you get all the tiers below it, which is a lot of shit. But you can help design a weapon, a shield, or a helmet.
Nice.
And so you can work with the designers to design a weapon. That's awesome. And then it'll be a reward in the game that people can receive. They have the legendary scholar. So if you pay $2,500, you can help design a spell or an ability.
That's pretty cool. Has anybody backed that one?
I'm looking at the thing right now. I'm not looking at the actual. I'm guessing they've probably got. Let's see. Yeah, one person did the frickin' Chamber Lord.
Which is what? Everything below it and?
Yeah, and they get to design a dungeon with the team.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking cool.
But that's $8,000. So whoever swung in on that one is.
I'd imagine it's another developer that wants to get in on it.
Somebody did the $1,000, the legendary blacksmith. Somebody already swooped that one, too.
Was it just one of one, or can multiple people get it?
Up to five on that one. Okay. I think. Or no. That's 10.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So 10 people can be a legendary blacksmith.
Now, all of these packs are great, but what if I just want to get in, base donation to where I just get the game? No perks, but just a copy of the game.
Just a copy of the game is going to cost you $28.
Oh, then you didn't say that.
Nope. Sorry, $16.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
So, yeah, so really cheap. Really cheap. And that's just going to get you a copy of the game as soon as it's available.
Right.
Oh.
Is there a way to get into it early? Like alpha to beta testing or
something?
Yeah,
you pay a little extra and you get in early.
The pre-beta tester pack, I think, was $300. Ooh. Yeah, Game Master.
That is steep.
Access to even earlier versions of the game, which said pre-alpha.
Okay.
So pre-alpha, for $300, you can get in pre-alpha and play the game and help them feedback and develop it. It'll also
like the
give
game
you
may be very broken at this stage, is what it says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
even non-functional for some computer setups. yeah, and then like one of the packs, for not too much more, I think it's $100, gives you, like, for $75, you get a bronze plaque in the Hall of Builders, which is a place in the game you can go to. One of them gives you, like, a builder plaque and a tombstone.
Yeah.
And tombstones are in the game. Nice. And then you know, it's like, can you find your own tombstone? Because it'll be in the world somewhere.
Nice.
And a little bit more, and you can get a decorated tombstone and a silver plaque instead of a bronze tablet.
Oh.
You know, I don't know. So they've got some fun little
insert yourself in the game here and there type
of
thing.
Yeah. I honestly think it'd be super cool to help design a weapon. Yeah, fuck a helmet or awesome. A shield.
Just about. Oh, God, what was that game? The name of that game now? POE. Path of Exile.
Oh, yeah.
You could,
okay.
You could spend, like, a certain amount of money, and you could design your own unique weapon.
Nice.
Yeah, the Game Master one, which tempts me, but I definitely won't do it because I'm poor. Unless somebody wants to loan me $300. All you peeps out there. You get a glowing tombstone.
Ooh.
You get to name an NPC. You get a glowing
Jimmy
builder
Wrestler.
Plaque. You get a mini dragon pet.
Hell
and
yeah.
You get pre-alpha access as the Game Master. So, like, I'm... That would be so cool. This game looks so fun.
I
don't know if it looks
$300
fun.
Like, I think
yeah.
It looks really cool.
Yeah, it is. Survival games are awesome.
And then you put in
the
fantasy aspect where, like, you can cast spells, but there's things you have to do to... Yeah, I don't know. It seems really, really
and
cool.
And they said most of the lighting in the game is lanterns are used, but some of the packs give you, like torches and stuff like that. And so if other survivors see you running around... With a torch, they know that you've backed them from the beginning, and the torches look cooler and cooler as you go up.
Nice.
And like I said, you get every tier below it, so from Game Master down, I mean, I could get a unique pack animal, a large tombstone, a gold builder plaque, a unique torch, a unique backpack, a bird pet, a decorated tombstone. Like, just so much shit.
A bird pet versus a dragon pet, though.
Yeah, I think I know which one.
I would have the dragon.
$5,000, legendary warrior, and you can help design a monster.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Which would be kind of cool, too.
That would be really cool.
Get in touch with the Chamberlord. Anybody want to loan me $8,000 so I can design a dungeon?
Yeah, let me just pull that out of my pocket real quick for you, John.
Let me get on that dungeon business, son. Yeah, no, so it's called Outward. It's on Kickstarter. It's got 28 days left. Be a little bit less than that by the time you can get to this, if you're just now hearing about it. Just now. But go check it out, and if you want to back it, man, pre-order the game at the bare minimum, because I'm sure after you watch it, if you like these types of games, I honestly think I'm going to back it. I've never done that on Kickstarter. It'll be a new
throw just the 16 in for the basic copy?
Yeah, or... You know, maybe the $28.
All right.
Because then I get, you know, the digital soundtrack.
Ooh.
Yeah. The music's supposed to be pretty epic. I mean, they broke down how they're spending their money or what their goals are to spend their money. So you understand where their $120,000 goal is coming from.
$120,000.
And $62. $120,062. Weird ass number. Development costs $73,000. Office expenses $10,000. Sound and music $16,000.
Sound
and music. Kickstarter fees and taxes $30,000. And marketing about $21,000. And that's their goals. That's where they want to break up the money to.
Right.
They're just trying to outline it for you so you understand what they're aiming for. Only 6 people making this game. So there's only 6 programmers working on it on the core team right now that's actually doing it.
That's why it's so
2
long.
Years out.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's by 9 dots, and they're all Canadian.
Oh.
Nice.
That's why he has an idea. Not to mock you, my friend. My neighbors up north.
Well, you are going to get the money, so.
Yeah, I'm going to give you money, bro.
Yeah. So say cool. What you want.
Yeah. All right, you said idea with an R at the end. That's not how it works. It's idea. All right, there. Corrected. You stand corrected. Yeah, so no, 9 dots, Outward, the Adventure Life Simulator.
Hey, it looks like an awesome game.
Dude, so.
No, it does look really cool. Definitely. I can't wait to see where this game ends up going.
2017 is a little far away, but damn it,
but
I've waited longer.
It's something I'm definitely going to keep my eye on.
I really hope they make their goal.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure there'll still be, I'm sure they'll still keep working on it, even if they don't, and it'll still be released. It just won't be as good as it could have been.
Or longer.
Yeah, or longer, exactly.
Because I was going to say, they've already done so much work, I can't even imagine them
scrapping
it
scrap
just
it,
for missing their goal. Because
they'll just have to find
you
another
can even
way
tell from their
invest.
Kickstarter video that they're genuinely excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, they think it's a really fun idea, and they said that's why they're having so much fun programming it, and why they're, for such a small team, they're moving fairly quick is because they're just like, you know, when you have a common idea and a common goal and everybody is excited about it, they're like, things just happen, like, things work.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going at it.
But no sign of what platforms or
it PC? Doesn't say at all, but I mean
I'd imagine it's gonna be PC. PC. Imagine PC.
The controller thing made me think it was gonna be console somehow because he's talking about split screen.
Right.
You know, but I mean you can split screen controller on a PC, it's not like that's hard. Everybody's maybe got they're more going
for a multiple platform as well.
Yeah. You never know.
It's been a long time since I played split screen.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
I would much rather just play full screen and then use Skype or Ventrilo to talk to my homies. So I can see the whole thing. I do get what he's saying, though. Being able to sit in the same room and play with friends has always been fun. Like, I mean, even when we just LAN partied and you're not using the same computer, obviously, but you're all right there, so you can
talk. People are within arm's reach. They're physically in the room. Yeah.
You can talk shit. You can slap your homie in the back of the head and be like, no, he did it.
It wasn't me. It wasn't me, man.
It's just me and you in here, John.
But no, he did it. Who's he?
Shh, don't look. The mechanics look really fun. The graphics look nice. They've obviously got a lot of work to do. But I got high hopes. Go team go. 9 dots.
Nice.
All right. Well, what I'm talking about this week is called it's Strife. It's a MOBA. It's been in open beta for a while, but it just got released. It just actually hit its release date. Very similar to LOL or Dota in those aspects. The colors are a lot more fun, though. They're a lot more vibrant. A few things that are different. The reason why I want to talk about it is because there are a few really, really cool aspects to it. First of which is the summoner level cap is actually 70, and you get rewards for leveling up through every level. So there's a point to keep playing as opposed to LOL, where once you hit 30 and now it's just for the game. Like this kind of helps keep pushing you. There are 30 champions out right now. All of them are available as soon as you download it. You don't have to unlock any of them. A couple of things that you do have to unlock, though, are pets, for example. This game has a pet system, and your pets actually have abilities. So, for example, I was playing earlier today, and I had a crab to where it was... it would attack anybody that was attacking me. It would... it had an activated ability to where if I got stunned or slowed, I could activate it, and it acted as a cleanse stick, and I could run away. different pets do different things. It was just the fact that you can do pets and have another ability like that, and there are no passives, but your pet will give you a passive, so you can change the passives on your character.
nice.
And it kind of acts as a summoner ability, too. So that I thought was really cool, along with their Baron, and their version of Baron and Dragon do different things. Not only do you get global XP and gold, but if you kill their dragon 3 times in a row without the other team taking it, you'll actually start to spawn super minions beforehand to help you push. And then if you take their version of Baron, you actually get this huge ape to where your team can choose which lane it helps push. And then it just goes, and every time it hits something, it does damage to itself. So it's not out for very long in combat, but it does a ton of damage and can help the team push. So that was really cool. You can also have items delivered to you in the lane like Dota. But with this one, everybody gets their own private carrier, and you can't kill the carrier at all, so it's literally just you never have to back. But you don't. There are no health potions, so you can't have it constantly running you out of potions, but everybody can just get out of combat, and start to regen their health and their mana. So everybody's kind of got, Garen's passive, reach back up for a little bit, and you'll start to regen. So you can, buy something, wait for your character, back into the bush, regain your health as you wait for your items to come out, and then there you are, back to your lane.
Nice. That's crazy. I'm watching a video of it now.
Yeah, I'm watching the same video.
Yeah. And there's a character on there that literally looked just like Soraka. My mind was boggled. There's Alistar right there.
Another thing that's really cool in this is there are no wards, but there are places in the jungle to where, kind of like the altars in 3v3 for League of Legends, where they grant some vision. These will do it as well. You just walk up to it. It'll grant vision for your team for X amount of time, and then it goes back to neutral, and anybody that walks up to it can go use it for vision. So the wards are kind of constantly placed and just who controls them, which I thought was really cool. And then the last thing that it is just a standard MOBA, but the last thing I wanted to say about it, which I thought was awesome, was that their lore is playable. Their lore is done kind of like a dungeon crawler, so you can actually play through the lore in the chapters. But that's really it.
Did we play Strife, Peter?
At PAX.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I thought so.
PAX.
I was going to say, I remember getting a Strife beta key in like a comic book form. They had it on the back of a little comic book.
Mm-hmm. I'm just watching this video on my phone. It looks very cartoony, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like a cartoonier version of League of Legends. The map and the mechanics look like, not map-wise, the map's a little more detailed in the jungle as far as paths, but I think that the towers and the lanes and all of that looks Yeah, I mean, it's a MOBA. They've got to look like
League of Legends. Does the gameplay slow down, or is they just doing that for dramatic effect in the video?
I think it's just dramatic effect. Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Just like any MOBA, basically it's real time. Like,
yeah, okay.
Everything happens. I mean, there might be a character who has the ability to slow time, and so it would look like everybody slows their movement speed.
Yeah, after
the only time I've ever done that, I've ever seen anyone do a, a time effect in a game would be in Dota, where if you play Faceless Void, you can put your Chronosphere down and everybody is essentially stunned. And anybody, friend or foe, walks into it, they get stopped. So only Faceless Void is unaffected by walking into it.
Okay.
You can actually fuck over your entire team by putting it down. Just like only, essentially, they have all ranged characters, and you throw it down, and then only your team is stunned, and they just stand outside of the dome and kill them.
It does work on Linux, though, so that's a plus on my side. 7 out of 10 is the rating on Steam.
Yeah, no, I think Strife would be fun. My problem with MOBAs, and it's just because like I didn't play Dota originally. So, my first MOBA was League of Legends. And for me, it's hard to like another MOBA as much as I like League of Legends, because I like it so much. Whereas, like, for Peter, was an original Dota player.
Original, so, yeah. From 2 to 6.2. So, a lot of versions of Dota were played.
Gotcha.
And so for him, it's easier to accept new MOBAs, I think, just because he's played more than one.
Like, I was really resistant to League of Legends.
When I play Dota 2, for instance, I just the gameplay is so much different than that of League of Legends and what I know.
Yep.
I don't think I'm ready to accept another learning curve, because the League of Legends learning curve for never playing a MOBA for me was drastic. I sucked goat balls in the beginning. I didn't understand at all what I was supposed to be doing.
I was talking to my friends about fighting games, because I don't learn fighting games particularly that fast.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just discussing it. And just like with any game that has a similar genre, the more fighting games you play, the faster you'll learn.
Yeah.
The more MOBAs you play, the faster you'll learn. There's not enough MOBAs yet, really, for you to just pick up another MOBA and go, this is like every other MOBA I've ever played, with some slight differences. But, yeah. I mean, There's a lot of
some character skills in Dota 2 seem broken.
Every character in Dota is broken.
That's what it is? Okay. They're gnarly, though, you're saying?
Pretty much all characters in Dota can be played as a carry.
Okay.
Well,
I mean, there's some that are better at it.
There's like that sniper dude. He's like halfway across the map. Like,
he's weak as shit if you get up on him, though.
I was going to say, I don't even know how he can fucking see me. All of a sudden, I'm just getting like blasted.
No, it's, one of his abilities is to increase his range, kind of like Tristana, except there's a point that you put into it.
Yeah.
And then, so if you're within visual range, he can shoot you. And then his ultimate is essentially like Caitlyn's, except better. And so it can't be blocked. As soon as he sees you, he can aim in on you, and then you can.
And his vision range is ridiculous, then.
No, it's not. It's exactly like Caitlyn's. He has to see you before casting it. And then once he starts casting it, there's nothing you can really do about it. But he has to see you to start.
Well, how far can he see?
Like anybody else in normal range. No one has more vision range than anybody unless you're playing Night Stalker at night and you have Aegis. That's so
really it, yeah.
Not Aegis, excuse me. The staff that increases your ultimate. So essentially, Night Stalker is a character that he's okay during the day, but they have a day-night cycle in Dota, and at night he's incredibly fast. And at night, most people have a vision penalty in Dota, but if he has that staff, then he has unobstructed vision. So if you're in the forest, he can see over the trees. He can see you doing things and can come up on you and kill you.
That's gnarly as fuck.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how Dota is. I mean, there's a lot of stuff like that. But once you learn them, like, for example, Sniper really isn't that great of a character. Yeah. Like, there are better carries. He can get really crazy, but, like, the only thing the only thing that he can get is essentially, it used to be called Loaders, now it's just called Shadowblade, but essentially makes him invisible, gives him Windwalk, and then you can just counter that, and if you counter that, if you get up on him, he has no HP because he's a straight agility character. You'll just wreck him. But once you know those things, you know, by playing more Dota, then it's really not that overwhelming. But in the beginning, it just seems like, man, he just wrecked me so hard.
What's the other one we played other than Strife at PAX that we played even afterwards?
Dawngate.
Yeah, Dawngate. Mm-hmm. Another good one. I actually like that one.
That one was a lot of fun.
Dawngate was fun.
One thing that is kind of cool about this is, minus the other few
unique aspects, like with Killing Dragon and Baron, is it has a crafting system for the items.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually go in and tweak. For example, we'll use Bloodthirster from Maul, for example. It gives you attack speed and lifesteal. You could actually be like, okay, well, instead of the attack speed, I want it to give me attack damage and lifesteal. So you could go in and, like, manipulate items in that way, mm-hmm. which I thought was really cool. But it does cost. There are three currencies in the game. There's just the in-game one, like the general one you use, and then you earn one for crafting, and then there's also, you know, just your standard money one. So it takes the crafting points that you have earned to actually to build these items new and build them differently.
A little more customization.
Mm-hmm. But that's pretty much it for Strife. Like, it's just another MOBA that's got some unique aspects to it that I thought was kind of cool. I really liked the playable lore. I thought that was a really interesting thing to do.
Yeah. If you're a fan of MOBAs, I would check it out. It's a fun-looking game.
I'm going to be talking about Dark Souls today.
What's that game? I've never heard of it.
No. Dark Souls, widely considered to be one of the best RPGs ever made. It's not really a forgiving game if you're not into dying and trying and maxing out your character in a way that, like, where he's really good at one thing, then this isn't the game for you. But if you're really into RPGs and you like having explicit control over your stats and what you start with and how you upgrade your weapons and what weapons and stuff you have, like the type, if you want, you know, explicit control over what type of character you make down to the letter, then this is the exact game for you. Really, if you've played Demon's Souls, which is, you know, the spiritual predecessor, I guess, for the game, it's a lot similar to that. Pretty much exactly the same game with a different storyline and different bosses. But you start out the game as an undead in the Undead Asylum, because pretty much all of the characters in the game are undead or hollow. Then you are the chosen one because you are, you know, one of the people that escapes the asylum, and not many people do, or correct none, and you get chipped off on a giant crow to the fire shrine. And the interesting about the game is there is lore, and like I was saying before, there's lore in the game, but you don't really need to pay attention to the lore in order to play the game. You don't need to play Demon's Souls in order to play this game.
It's more about the gameplay.
It's more about the gameplay. And the fun part about Demon's Souls, you know, Bloodborne or Dark Souls 2, is that you have the same kind of control that you would have in D&D, and it's very closely related to a D&D system, but it's not turn-based, and there is a level of skill that has to do with reaction time and timing, because you are essentially playing a game, a melee kind of game like Chivalry. You don't have to play it this way. You could play as a mage, but you're going to have a shield and a sword or a shield and a weapon, and you can dodge, you can block, and you can do, you know, several different types of attacks. And so each enemy you face, boss or just a normal minion in the game, is really unique. You essentially, it's a game that where if you're not paying attention to what you're doing, even the weakest thing can kill you. Even if you're, you know, have a really badass character, if you're not paying attention to what you're doing, you can die.
Right.
And that's the unforgiving part of it.
So can you hold two weapons in that one? Because we talked about Bloodborne earlier, where there's
that was
you
have not
a gun and another weapon.
Generally, no. So the weapon system in the game, it's really interesting. That was the one complaint that I have about Demon's Souls, Dark Souls, and possibly Bloodborne, is that they don't really explain themselves very well. There's not really a tutorial. There's signs on the ground that kind of tell you what to do, but you have to learn the game in order to be good at the game.
Right.
It's not something that's just like, here, this is how you play the game, this is the best way to play it.
But people can leave signs for you, right? Like,
yeah.
So they could either help you out or they could just trick you if they wanted to,
yeah.
Right? Like,
some people, and there is the, I think it's the bold demon, I think it's Tarasen demon or something like that, but it's like the second boss. It's the boss, the first boss after you get out of the Undead Asylum. It's on this bridge. And there's this ladder that you can go down, and go up and down. And so you engage the boss, and there's this tower that you can go up on, and you can jump down and do jumping strikes on things, and it does ton more damage, probably like 2 times as much damage as you would be able to normally. But you have to, in order to get up and down that ladder, you have to press A on it. And what someone did is they took one of those signs and put it right next to the ladder so that while you're fighting the boss, you'll just read the message instead of going down the ladder, which killed me. And there's ratings. Like, you can put down a sign that just says, like, anything. Like, some people put down lines that say, praise the sun, because there's a covenant or a faction that worships the sun. Lord Gwyn, this faction that is like all about the sun and the light, and they'll be, you know, praise the light, totally meaningless, doesn't affect how you play the game, right, or anything. It's, you know, the signs do help, but you still need to play through the game in order to know how you're gonna play it, know how you're gonna beat it,
right?
Which the way that the game is built, generally, you don't have to do any of the bosses in any specific order. Sometimes you have to have certain items in order to effectively beat a certain boss. But usually you play through the game until you get to a bonfire, and then that bonfire, from there, if you die, you get put back to that bonfire, and every time you sit at the bonfire to regenerate your health and your items, everything respawns.
Yeah.
Not everything. Certain things don't respawn, but most things do. Bosses and mini bosses don't respawn, but most things do, and so you have to fight your way back through it.
Right.
And so the cool thing about speedrunning, I think his name's Santos. Let me see here. Santzo 84 is a speedrunner, and essentially you can beat Dark Souls 1, all of the bosses, with some certain restrictions, in like 1 hour and 8 minutes, roughly. And that's changing all the time, because that's just how the speedrunning community works. But what's really interesting is that he doesn't really use bonfires. He has the bonfire at the fire shrine, which is the first place that you go, and then he'll go and beat the boss, and then he'll use an item that'll teleport him back to the last bonfire he rested at, which will be at the beginning of the game, and then from there he can go to the next game. So it's all calculated down to a T. So just like the way the game is designed is really interesting for speedrunning.
Put hours of thought into that.
Hours of thought. And what he's doing is like called a Black Knight Halberd run. And so essentially in the first 4 minutes of the game, you can skip a significant portion of the game by just going through and having the master key, which is a key that allows you to open up certain doors that you would normally have to find the key to open. And so he goes from there into the Darkroot garden, which is just this portion of the game, and there's a Black Knight there, and there's several Black Knights in the game, but this one has a chance to drop the Black Knight Halberd, which is, you could use, it's probably one of the best weapons in the game, arguably, but you have a chance to kill this chance to get the halberd by killing the knight, and you normally never be able to kill this thing, but he's next to a cliff, so you essentially trick him to get into the cliff, get around him, and then backstab him, and then he falls off the cliff, and you have a chance to get the halberd. And then so in this run, he's able to use the halberd like within the first 10 minutes of the game, easily. Like, so he does that, and then he goes fights like one of the first bosses, which is like the gargoyles. And he's, right after beating the gargoyles, he's able to use the halberd, and he's got all of the, like, just, you know, when he uses certain items, like, down to the second, you know, when to roll, when not to. Right. It's pretty insane.
Nice.
And, I mean, there's just, as far as speedrunning goes, there's a level of complexity in Dark Souls that you could immerse yourself in the complexities of speedrunning in Dark Souls forever. I mean, I think these people do. Easily.
There's people still speedrunning Zelda Ocarina of Time.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
You know, like
the first Mario.
I follow you. Just what I mean to say is that in Dark Souls, since there is not it's not linear like Ocarina of Time is, like, you rely less on glitching and more on, like, what is the most effective way
to figuring out the effect.
Yeah, like, what order should I do this? Because, like,
so you can skip certain bosses?
There's a Sif skip, which is essentially this lava boss, but essentially there's this big river of lava, and there are items called humanity, and in speedrunning it's very important, because if you use humanity, it gives you all of your health back. And so he's like down to the T's, like, I gotta roll twice, and this is like an explanatory speedrun, so he's actually explaining what he's doing, and so he's like, okay, roll twice, roll the right. Roll twice, roll the right, and when he gets to this rock that's not covered in lava, so he's not dying, he's like, uses an Estus Flask or humanity, and then does it again. And like,
wow.
Yeah, no, it's insane. But, and that's kind of the kind of game you're playing. I mean, it's an insane game. It's hard. but it's really rewarding.
Okay.
You know, like, if you can make a really fucking badass character if you sit down and think about how you want to build it.
Mm-hmm.
But, nice. And that's, you know, it's a learned game. So for me, when I first started playing, I chose a Pyromancer, which is supposed to be one of the easier starting classes. But I started putting points into Intelligence, because I thought, I'm like, oh, I'm a caster character.
Mm-hmm. Makes
like,
sense. Yeah,
but apparently you have a Catalyst as a Pyromancer, and you upgrade the Catalyst to improve your spells. Upgrading Intelligence does absolutely nothing for you as a Pyromancer. It only does, like, stuff with a sorcery. And that's really about it.
I was, like, hearing something, and I was like, what is that?
I thought it was you, John, no. To be honest with you.
It's Daredevil.
If you throw that link up, if you throw that link up in our chat, I'll put that on the website.
Oh, so yeah, no, that, this, check out that it's video. About an hour long, but if you're interested in speedrunning, and you're interested in Dark Souls, then you're gonna, if you've played Dark Souls before, it's all gonna make sense to you, and it's gonna be really interesting.
Yeah.
And it's just, especially since it's an explanatory game, so if you're interested, it's not like just watching him, he's actually explaining what he's doing. And so it's not the fastest speed run, but it's going to be the most clarative.
Right.
Yeah.
Right on. But
yeah. Nice.
Immerse yourself in the world of, I think it's called Lordaeron, I believe.
Welcome to Lordaeron.
On the shores of Mordron.
And there are so many videos because, like I said, there's no tutorial and there's no tooltip, so there, you can't hover over items or hover over stats and tell you exactly what they do. So there are videos of people that break down what each point of each stat does for you and what kind of character you're playing.
Damn.
And if you spend, you know, 30 minutes like watching these videos before you play, it can make huge, like, it could help a lot.
You kind of, if I understand right, like, all these games, Demon's Souls, Dark Souls, and Bloodborne, like, they're all the kind of games
that don't
really have any kind of tutorial and straight, like, you're just kind of on your own to figure it out.
Yeah, which is good and bad.
Right.
Like, I found it a little irritating that you get a weapon. Get
frustrating, for sure.
Yeah. You get a weapon that has all these icons on it, a lot of iconography and numbers, and you're just like, what the fuck does that all mean? Like, I don't know. And then, so essentially, you have to look at your character sheet and, like, match up the icons to figure out what stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, initially frustrating, but once you know that stuff, you just fucking know it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I guess we'll move on to our tech part of the show.
If we have to.
Let's get technical.
I think we probably should.
All right. I mean, for the sake of moving things along.
We could just sit here and watch John play some more.
Neuron Ball?
I would never play that game. Stupid.
Whatever. It's in another tab on your browser. I know.
Yeah.
You know, it's taken a really long... I've been searching for opponents since my last tie. Which was right after we started the episode, so I don't know.
You actually are playing against real people then.
Yeah, it's just been.
And he's ran out of people to play.
He's played everyone.
Yeah,
yeah. Can't get any better than I am.
The gadget I'm talking about this week is it's on Kickstarter. It was actually the staff pick of the day today when we're recording, but it's called the Trobla. It is a, and Trobla means horn, is a Slovenian, I'm probably saying that all wrong, word for horn. Basically what this is, it's a little wooden amplifier for your smartphone. So you stick your smartphone on the top of it, and it just, it amplifies the sound, but there's no electronics in it, you don't have to plug anything up, it's just based on the shape of the sound horn.
It's just designed in a way to where it'll echo the sound and make it louder for you.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no complex technology involved. They wanted to build something that was reduce the e-waste and stuff like that that mm-hmm. we have, you know. I guess they put a lot of time. It looks like they put at least a year or more into the actual design. They came up with a lot of different designs.
They look like they're designed really, really well and actually taken, like, acoustics into account when they're...
Right. And it has little adapters, so it, like... On the Kickstarter, it says for iPhone, which is what they, I think, initially designed it for.
You think I can't carve out a little wood, though, and put my Windows phone in that bitch? You're crazy.
Probably not. It wouldn't work with a Windows phone.
No. Yeah.
Windows phones just don't work. I could do it for my Android phone, but...
Right now, it works for all iPhones, Samsung Galaxy S6, S6 Edge, Nexus 5, Sony Xperia. There's a few out there, and I'm sure they could come up with other adapters, too, once it... once it comes out.
Mm-hmm. Now, what happens if I click play and he's about to put it in this thing?
It's going to get really loud.
It's made of wood.
It's made of wood.
They already have 287 backers. They've made like 170% of their goal.
Oh, okay. So they've definitely achieved it.
They still have. They're at 19,500. Their goal was 10,700.
So basically, and
they still have 35 days to go. So it made it for sure.
Such a cool idea.
It really is, because like, just if you listen to a lot of music on your phone or something, you don't have to worry about plugging something in somewhere. Yeah. You just stick your phone on the top of it.
What I do right now is when I want to use my phone to play music while I'm in the shower, is I just set my phone playing on the counter and put like a glass or a toilet paper roll over the top of it to kind of help amplify the sound.
Yeah, because if you drop your phone in a jar, for instance, like it makes a big difference.
It's pretty small. It says on here it's almost a cube. So it's like 4x4x3 and a half or something like that, you know.
We were so close to being a cube.
I'd probably put more effort into actually the sound part of it, but the cheapest you can get it, the early bird backers was $55. That's all gone now. The next tier on here is 65 or more. That gets you one plus an extra adapter for additional smartphone.
Okay.
Let's see. Special edition is 100. That one comes when made out of mahogany wood.
Ooh, fancy.
From their grandfather's workshop. It just seems like a really cool little device. They put a lot of fucking effort into it. So, but I would check it out.
Yeah, no, yeah. Absolutely.
No, that seems really cool. What are the prices on this thing?
Like, if you're 65 is the cheapest you can get onto it right now. Okay. 55 was the cheapest early bird, but that's all gone now.
I mean, for a stand for your phone that, you know, amplifies the sound, if you buy one of those for your iPhone, you know, it could break.
Right,
you know, like,
exactly.
This can't really break.
Yeah.
And I guess if your house burns down, like, you know, if you throw it in your fireplace, then maybe. But what isn't going
to
break
if you
do
that? But for somebody like Peter who listens to a lot of audiobooks, like, something like this would be cool, right?
Yeah, for the shower, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, because nice. I've been trying to find a way to, like, do... Like, music is one thing, because you don't really need to have clear words.
No,
yeah, you know what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, if you can just hear where you're at in the song, you could still sing along.
Yeah.
But with an audiobook, you have to understand what's going on.
Which means
you have to absorb it, you have to... Did you finally finish?
Yeah,
Wheel of Time?
No, not that was 10. I have 11, 12, 13, 14 to go.
Okay. So see, you got plenty of books to read.
No, but I gotta download one, but yeah.
The only kind of complaint I guess I had on this, because on the video they show someone using it like as their alarm clock, but there's no way to charge your phone then if you plug it in from the bottom.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
And my phone is my alarm clock. And
exactly.
I'm charging it while I'm sleeping.
But other than that, if you're just listening to music, and it weighs half a pound.
Yeah, it's just a block of wood. So, it's not going to be that heavy.
Kill someone with it.
They should be. It says that they're expecting to ship in June or July.
Oh.
So.
Trobla used to bludgeon a man to death last night, and everybody could hear it.
The sound was crisp.
One dude heard it in the shower.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, but I'll put the links up on the webpage if you want to check that out.
Nice. So. I'm going with Project Riptide.
Oh.
Okay, so we're all familiar with the Riptide, right?
Riptide, yeah.
What is it?
A riptide is when there's certain eddies in the water that cause a super fast current in a narrow strip of water to suck back out to sea very quickly. And so people get caught... Peeper. See, I'm Canadian now.
Someone had an idea to help save
those peepers.
People get caught in that shit and pull right out.
No, my uncle was laying on his surfboard, because he lived in Orange County, California, and he was laying on his surfboard, and he was just not, like, napping so much as just, like, sunbathing on his surfboard in the water. And when he sat up and actually looked forward, he was super far from shore, like, way far. And he could see, because it was getting dusky, he could see all the lights on shore.
Shit.
So he swam sideways on his surfboard.
Well, that's how you get out of a riptide.
And then and then swam himself back to shore. But he was just like, fuck, man. He's like, what if I sat up and then there was no land in sight? He's like, then what do you do? But, yeah, no, so it's a real thing, and people do die from it. Like, 10,000 people a year die from it. So then out of, like, all the other natural disasters and stuff like that, riptides actually beat everybody. And so right now, the only way to save somebody in a riptide really is either have the Coast Guard go out there in a boat or something, but on average, because time is a factor, it's most often a lifeguard that has to dive in and swim out there.
Right.
And risk their own life to save somebody who is swimming against, even though they issue riptide warnings.
Yeah. But instead, we can use technology.
Yeah. And so now what they've developed is Project Riptide is an inflatable that attaches to a standard drone. Like, just a common one that most people have. And what they did is they used 3D printed parts to create brackets that hold this attachment. And then you can fly it out there. And then the control, you just hit a button, and it releases the strap, and it drops the inflatable device down into the water. So you just fly it above whoever's having trouble. You hit the button, you drop it, and then it has a CO2 cartridge attached to the inflatable. And then inside of it, there's holes in the bottom side of the CO2 cartridge thing with a green salt tab on it. Mm-hmm. And within 5 seconds, that salt tab dissolves, which will push a spring up in and then puncture the CO2 cartridge and then inflate it.
Nice.
So within 5 seconds, all of a sudden, they have an inflatable ring floating right in front of them that they can grab onto.
So is this, like, you have to have your own drone? Or is this is just the piece that connects
exactly.
To the
so they're going to send you the attachments for the drone plus the inflatable and the CO2 cartridge attachments and stuff like that. So you, when you're pledging for these, you're not getting a drone. So when you're like, $129 and I can... No. You're not getting a drone.
You
sorry.
Didn't get the quadcopter and the inflatable.
No, you get... So you basically, they're offering you the chance to be your very own lifeguard, if you wanted. But basically, it's something that they want to start getting out to lifeguards to make it a more standard thing to use.
Right.
To help rescue people from riptide, or at least give them something to hold on to and float so that they have more time to rescue them.
We're just going to
So while you're out there floating, now maybe you can wait for that boat to come get you instead of having a lifeguard swimming out into a rip current and trying to get another person out of it.
The entire time while you wait for help.
Yeah. And I'm sure they kill lifeguards too because people panic. And when people panic, they're extremely hard to save in water. I rescued somebody once. It was in a lake. There was no riptide.
They were just...
It was Michael Scholl. Sorry to name drop, Mike. Maybe I shouldn't have put your last name out there.
Scholl?
Dude, yeah.
Like,
that guy's like a...
Italian Scholl? Like the slong?
No.
Not that guy?
Like the guy you know. That's like...
like the guy you know.
Weighs like 1,000,000 pounds because he was like all muscle in high school. He had a cramp. But if I had a drone, damn it, I wouldn't have swam back across the lake to go get his ass. I would have just... grab on, buddy.
One thing, but, I mean, if you're an average person, I feel like it's going to be a little weird. You're going to be that weird guy, right? Someone... It is awesome, right? But at the same time, you're like, oh, someone was caught in riptide? Let me just take out my quadcopter and this riptide thing. And I'm totally ready.
Exactly. You just sit there, and then you're like... It's time. And then...
I've been waiting all of my life!
Dude, think about
finally,
it, though.
Adam's the hero.
What do they call it?
Adam's dead on the drone.
What do they call it? That thing like Nightingale... The
Florence Nightingale Syndrome?
Yeah. So they, you know, maybe these hot bitches at the beach will fucking jump your bones because you saved their life with your quadcopter. Oh. Nerd power. So the thing actually, the whole life-saving attachment only weighs 450 grams. And that includes the CO2 cartridge and the inflatable and all the extra pieces on the drone.
It would have to be that. You know, if you're going to put it on a drone, you're going to have to make it as lightweight as possible.
Yeah.
I feel like the inflatable that it gives you, how much weight can it hold?
That I didn't see anything on.
Because the CO2 cartridge has got to be pretty small, so it's got to be a pretty small inflatable.
It's like the size of a normal, like,
18
ring.
Kilograms of buoyancy. What does that mean? Does anybody know how to do math? What's a kilogram?
I don't know how to convert. 2.2
pounds.
Stupid Canadians. So basically they're saying the life-saving raft and everything like that and all the attachments is equivalent to the weight of a GoPro.
Oh, that's not that bad at all.
Yeah, that you would attach to a drone.
Yeah, most of the time people
attach to a drone. So instead of attaching a camera and videotaping somebody drown, you could attach
39.683.
So 40 pounds.
But that doesn't really specify how much of
how much weight.
You're right, that's its buoyancy. Cause
right.
Which means it'll take 40
and it can
pounds
also be inflated manually.
Right.
So it'll hold probably a decent amount of weight.
And it can also be inflated manually, so if you're too cheap to buy...
A drone, just throw it out the
not a drone, but if you're too cheap to buy the CO2 cartridges or the self-inflating mechanism, you're just like, now blow it up while you try to tread water!
Yeah, because that's not exhausting.
Yeah, I think that would be like trying to pat your head, rub your tummy, and jump on one foot.
Yeah. And swim.
And swim.
And swim.
While not dying.
But it can be, so, you know, if it starts to lose air...
That's. I feel like it's probably more for that. If it starts to lose air, you can blow it back up as you've been floating for a while.
Yeah, it uses the Arduino chip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've talked about that a couple times.
The mechanism for releasing and all that stuff.
Oh.
Uses an Arduino.
I feel like the drone would have an Arduino.
Oh, probably, but the mechanism they strap it to and everything like that, that has it is, that's what they're using on it.
Everybody uses Arduinos for the most part.
It said installs in seconds, easily removed, uses gimbal channel. What's a gimbal? I feel like I know
it's
that
a channel.
Word. No, gimbal. God damn it. Now we're Googling gimbal.
Well, gimbal is a person. But yeah.
It's also what Linus stores.
Yes, John, please fill us in. Don't just into the mic.
A gimbal is a pivoted support that it's like that thing that you spin in at the fair. That's why we talked about it. We talked about the gimbal. You said you did it, right?
Yeah, I've done that. Yeah.
So
named after
it's
a person.
Well, obviously, everything's named after a person for the most part.
Nothing's named after this person.
Like the sun is named after me because I'm my dad's son. is that not how that works?
Yes, because before you were born, it was nothing but darkness in the world.
Praise the sun!
I am the Messiah. and lightning bolt. no, it's really cool. I think it's awesome that they're using 3D printed parts.
Keeps manufacturing prices very low.
As the way they're doing it. Only because one thing is we still talk about 3D printing a lot because it's such a cool thing and they're developing it so much.
It's so new right now.
And then it says all of the 3D models and STL files we use to print the mounting brackets, drop mechanism, and other Riptide parts will also be made available as open source.
Oh, okay.
So you can actually build your own Riptide stuff if you have a
3D printer.
So they're gonna give it out. They're gonna let people do it. But yeah, that's basically it. It's just a really nifty way to save people from drowning to death, which sounds like a horrible way to go, in my opinion. Yeah,
it does sound pretty bad.
It's definitely not on my list of things to do.
I don't see this so much as like being a personal like user, like you're at the beach, like we're joking around, having your drone and your lifesaver.
I can save myself with my own Riptide.
Yeah, but I can see like lifeguards using this.
Put it on
like,
your Xano, and your Xano could follow you around and then be like, Xano, save me!
Sadly, the Xano is too small to do that.
12 Xanos.
No, I got it. Selfie bot. The selfie bot. Yeah. Like the actual one from Sphero.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go.
Same guys that make Sphero. I think it's Orbitronics.
Yeah, but you probably need like five of those at least.
Four. One on each corner. Me.
And you'd also have to have your smartphone in the water to control those.
Paper, plastic bag, man.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Not a big deal.
Because when I'm surfing, I'm taking my cell phone with me.
Ziplocs, baby, Ziplocs. Old tech. I'm doing it next week, Ziplocs. All right, but that's pretty much it. Yeah, Project Riptide. It's on Kickstarter. They're pretty close to their goal. They have a $10,000 goal, and they've already raised $7,466.
4 days to go.
I was getting there. 4 days to go. So somebody with a lot of money, jump on board, save some lives.
Well,
unlike your gadget, mine is also a Kickstarter one, but it has reached its goal and passed it by a shitload.
Hey. Mine saves. Does yours save lives?
No, mine is a stick anywhere camera.
Ooh, that's gross.
Yeah.
I already know that's gross because with a name like Stick Anywhere Camera, there's only a handful of places I can imagine people sticking it.
Well, it's a 2x2x1 bathroom. Little square.
Ooh.
And it comes with.
Can you get a bigger one?
No, that's not there. They're meant to be pocket sized. It's called the Podo. If you could fit a 2x2x1 in your rectum, I mean, sure.
Wait, let's do some predictive analysis on. What kind of people are backing this? I mean, are all of them, you know,
dominatrix
or sex offenders?
Yeah.
It's called the Podo.
Even the name sounds like it's going in your butt.
P-O-D-O.
Hey, John, all where's right, your Podo camera?
Nowhere. I actually went more Spy Gadget and less anal when I saw this.
Dude, the outside is rubberized.
Yeah.
So that it can take a silicone lube easily.
Yeah, that, yeah, I'm sure that was what they had in mind. But yeah, so it's a stick-anywhere camera, so the back of it has, it's this rubber that's washable and semi-adhesive. You
is
can
it
stick it to
waterproof?
It, I don't know if the camera itself is waterproof. It's meant to be, like, stuck up on something.
Right.
How does it stick?
That's one thing, is their pad, they're just like, it's rewashable and kind of sticky and sticks to anything. they stick it to concrete, glass, metal, wood,
skin?
Brick. They don't show it to skin, but it also has a magnet underneath the rubber pad, so it'll easily stick to metal as well. But it's made, like, any flat surface, it'll pretty much stick to. It's an 8-megapixel camera.
Why did they make this?
Because it's basically to eliminate the, for example, if you're trying to take a picture of yourself, you either have to ask somebody to do it, or hold your phone out, or use a selfie stick. This is something that you can just stick somewhere, take the pictures, and then you're good. It can also do up to 2 hours of video. And then if you wanted to, you can set it to be like, okay, every 5 or 10 minutes, take a picture, and I'm going to set it up in the corner during a party, so I'll just have pictures of the party all night long. But what's cool is it comes with an app, it connects to your phone via Bluetooth, and then you control the entire thing through your phone.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so you can
actually... Does it have an app?
It does. It comes with an app. Yeah. It comes with a free app for Android and iOS as well. But you can actually, like, pop it in the corner, and then you can see what the camera is seeing on your phone.
So, that's awesome.
You can use it, get in position and stuff like that.
Gone are the days where you have to put your cell phone under someone's skirt.
Yeah. No longer!
No longer!
You just drop a camera in the hallway. but I don't know, I thought it was really...
it's weird, man. I just, like...
Or you drop it in their vagina.
That's why they made the selfie stick, and they're just like, okay, screw selfie sticks, we're gonna make this really small little device that could be used heinously. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I guess you could use a selfie stick in the wrong way,
heinously?
But like...
No.
No. No, no,
But
no.
This gadget kind of really reminded me of, like, in Splinter Cells, where you can just put the camera up in the corner, and then you can look back at it to see what's coming around that corner. But yeah, it's got an 8-megapixel camera on it, which is pretty decent for a tiny little device. It shoots 720p video at 30 frames a second.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and it can shoot constantly for 2 hours before the battery will die.
What kind of battery does it have, and how does it charge?
The battery charges just micro USB. Mm-hmm. Let me pull up the Kickstarter, and I can tell you what kind of battery it has.
Probably lithium ion, just like everything else, but...
It is a 600 milliamp. That's actually all it tells me on the battery. It doesn't tell me if it's a lithium ion.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much the pinnacle of battery technology for the most part, so... Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know, I just thought it was really cool that you could stick the thing anywhere. And except for John's asshole.
John is just...
Oh, man.
It's like a ball of laughs right now, John.
Every
now
time he says the stick anywhere camera, it instantly just makes me giggle like a child, because I think that shit's hilarious.
It does have... God, John, we're not 12. We're
well,
grown
I mean,
adults.
One of us is.
Speak for yourself.
It does have a 4 gigabytes of internal storage on the device itself, but it usually transfers most things, unless you want it to save it to the device specifically, it transfers every image or video it captures via Bluetooth over to your device instant. Well, not instantly, but as fast as
Bluetooth, yeah.
Yeah, as fast as it can transfer it over.
May as well be instant.
Pretty. I mean, it's pretty fucking quick.
I mean, shit, you're not going to do it that fast.
No.
Let me paint a picture of this. Send it
right?
to you.
But yeah, I thought it was really cool. As far as if you
want
to
lick it before you stick it?
No. No, John, you don't. But you have to wash it before you stick it again. Just run it over a little bit of water, brush off any debris, and you stick it
so
back
you
back
could
up there.
Use your tongue to
I
lick
mean,
it
could.
Before you stick it.
You could. If you want to use
Are you
going to
lick
it
before you stick it back in your ass? Because that's disgusting.
Hey, man, you do what you got to do.
They do have a few stretch goals, although they've already more than exceeded what they're looking for. If they get to their stretch goals, people that do order them will get like a little carrying case or, you know, specific skins, things like that. As of right now, if you want one, they had a $79 early bird, but that's sold out. If you want to pick one up just normally, they're $89. So, you know, $90 for a pretty decent camera, and you could use it as a webcam, really, if you wanted to. Like, we could use it in the studio to shoot 2 hours of video for an episode.
Is it waterproof? Like, completely?
Not yet.
It didn't say...
Gotcha.
No, they're working on that application.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it is somewhat shock resistant at the moment, but they're still working on more of resilience to the elements.
Because I was thinking, like, if it's magnetic,
it
on
gets wet in there.
If it's magnetic on one side, you could get like a high powered magnet and then put another magnet on the other, on the opposite side of the thing, and like put it on like boats and shit.
Oh yeah,
yeah, like just, you know, through the hull or like you know, on your bike or whatever. I just think that would be really interesting. Be like a GoPro, except it's, you know, magnetic.
Yeah,
yeah.
You could stick it to anything or anything, John. Yes,
I didn't on that one. I'm trying to let it slide
but deep inside. I mean, that's pretty much.
Jesus, sorry.
So, yeah, I mean, it's still got a ways to go on its Kickstarter as well, but it's more than exceeded it. So, yeah. Really, the only point now to back it is if you wanted to pick one up. Like I said, they're $89. Pretty versatile, especially if you're one of the people that kind of like taking a shitload of pictures all of the time. Like John, apparently, giggling.
You said shitload of pictures.
Okay.
No, wow. Does it have a floating camera lens in it, do you know?
It didn't say, but okay. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. Well, actually, maybe not, because the thing is meant to be stagnant.
Yeah, because I was going to say, if you stick it to like a bike or something and it doesn't have a floating camera lens, then it's going to give you some gnarly, bouncy picture.
No, that's true. I mean, the way they explained it is more to like...
adapt it, though.
Yeah.
Well, they could stick it anywhere 2.0.
You are so dumb.
I can hear the smirk, John.
I'm trying not to. I'm trying to get serious. I'm sorry. I apologize.
This is definitely meant to be put somewhere and just have that, it be the fixed point from taking pictures. I mean, that's really all I got. Is John can stick this camera up his asshole, and that's it.
Don't
buy me it for Christmas.
I'm not mad. I'm just saying, if you want a camera to put up John's butt, this is for you. Yeah.
2x2?
I mean, it is also pretty lightweight. It'll definitely fit in a small bag or a big pocket really easy. And it's pretty easy to take wherever you go.
You guys.
I'm sorry, once it gets in your head, every time you talk, no matter what you say, my brain twists it into some kind of, like, dirty camera joke, and then I just start laughing to myself. I really apologize, guys. It's a really cool camera. I'm really childish. All right, my bad.
Honestly, I mean, all giggling aside, that's pretty much all I've got on it. I mean, we kind of laughed our way through all of the specs and everything. If you want to pick one up, you order them right now on Kickstarter. They've already met their goal, so they're going to happen.
Nice.
If you want to pick them up.
When is it going to happen? I didn't hear.
I didn't say, but I believe they're trying to ship. It's June. They're going to start shipments in June, and they plan to have everything out by July.
Okay, so nice.
It shows all the delivery dates of August of 2015.
Oh, maybe it was that. Maybe it was July to August. That is what
estimated
I was
delivery August 2015.
Okay,
so somewhere there, end of summerish.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, right after the end of the season, when you'd probably want to use this, is when you'll get
it. Gold plated poto.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. If you donate more, you can definitely get all kinds of. Maybe you could get like a slicked down one, John.
Yeah, like pre-lubed, like it like secretes lube.
Or just, you know, like stainless steel ones.
Oh,
so.
There you go. How do you get it back out?
Easy cleaning.
I like that. Stainless steel. I'm putting that in the comments.
But yeah, I mean, if you're into taking a shitload of pictures and you want to stick it anywhere, then pick up a Podo.
Oh, my God. So, you've all watched Star Trek, I'm assuming?
No. Nope. Never.
Yep. Lots of it.
Is it like Star Wars?
Star Trek's for nerds.
It's kind of like that, I suppose.
I love Star Trek.
Fucking... bitch.
Yeah. I mean, oh yeah, who hasn't watched an episode or two of Star Trek? Of any of the generations.
Y'all are familiar with what a force field kind of is. It's not really, it doesn't really exist.
It repulses laser beams.
How do you think it works?
It's magnets.
Magnets.
Really, really strong, fucking powerful magnets.
I think it stops photon torpedoes.
I was going with magic.
No, but then, makes sense. But in all seriousness, Howard, like...
He stole the best one, I'm going to say it's a wind force field and use giant fans.
Okay, that's one way.
I don't know.
No, you don't know?
I got nothing.
So apparently in 2012, Boeing patented a shockwave attenuator, which is essentially talking about, it's essentially a deflector dish or a force field. And it's, at least as far as technical documentation is concerned, they don't talk about the exact implementation of it, but essentially it's described as... a medium which detects a shockwave event, and this is really meant for explosions because in weaponry and like in armored vehicles or on your person or in, you know, whatever you're trying to protect, you can protect against small arms fire and explosions and stuff, but you can't protect from the shockwaves from explosions. So if you're inside of a tank, like you can, you know, stop a ton of bullets and even stop an explosion, but the explosion shockwave could literally shake the people inside of the armored car to death.
Right.
And so what this is trying to do is to protect the asset by creating an attenuation field, an anti-shockwave. So it detects a shockwave in advance, and then using either microwaves, lasers, or electricity, they're not really sure how exactly, is going to attenuate a shockwave with another shockwave. By displacing the shockwave that is coming at you.
Right.
And it's literally meant to be used on anything. The example used in the patent is... I mean, the first example using the patent is like a Humvee or an armored car, but it can be used as a device to, like, you know, they've described as, you know, barracks, encampments, armored personnel carriers, tanks, you know, or like even the president's limousine, which is already pretty insane, but it's not protected by shockwaves. And which is really interesting to me because I've always been interested in any science fiction that can become reality, like 1984 or Fahrenheit 451, just talking about, like, you know, automated teller machines or headphones. Those things existed in literature before they existed in reality. And it's just interesting to me that not only, like, the force field is a thing, but they're actually trying to find a way to create the impulse engine from Star Trek.
Hell yeah.
By using, by using fusion.
You gotta get the warp drive first.
Yeah.
That's the important one.
That's never gonna happen. Well, I mean...
Nah, I wouldn't say never, but...
I mean...
Probably not in our lifetime.
Yeah, well, from what we know of physics, it's impossible. So, but I just think it's... really interesting that Boeing is kind of thinking ahead like this. It's not like a traditional force field, because in Star Trek, a force field is described as a field of atoms, essentially, that are like polarized atoms that will repulse or absorb any energy,
I mean,
whether
they
it's
even
kinetic
use it
or heat.
To block out the vacuum of space.
Yeah, they do that. They use it as windows in some cases, like in Star Trek First Contact, and he, like, opens up the window and then touches the force field, but there's no glass. But why they were calling it a deflector shield is because in space, like, you can theoretically get to light speed now. We could, if we, you know, had enough hydrogen gas in a rocket and just kept going, and there was no outside, you know,
resistance.
There is no resistance. But if the solar winds or some sort of weird comet didn't come and hit it, then we could possibly get to light speed. But the problem is that moving at that speed, the smallest flake of dust could break hull of a ship. So the deflector dish is just the thing that is stopping particulates you know, little mini asteroids from hitting it. But we're one step in that direction. It doesn't stop, like, small arms fire. It's really only for shockwaves.
Right.
But the principle is kind of the same.
I mean, it's
the
a stepping stone to get to that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. And, I mean, having the ability to stop a shockwave, like, I would be interested to know, like, what kind of shock, like, how it's, you know, attenuating another shockwave, and what kind of pressure wave, you know, the size of pressure wave, the magnitude of the pressure wave that it could stop. You know, like a nuclear explosion, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, just how far they're going. There's no information about development. It's just a patent at this point. But there was a lot of examples on how it worked and why it would work. So I think there is some development in that area.
Nice.
And if they could make that work, I mean, as far as protection is concerned on, you know, either whether it's for war or for, you know,
defense,
like, it's an amazing piece of technology if they get it to work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That'd be awesome. I had said magnets because I had read one time when NASA was talking about making, like, a force field kind of... Well, force field to block out radiation, you know, and they were talking about using magnets for that. And
yeah.
It was almost like if... We don't know how to make one powerful enough, but if you could possibly have a magnet powerful enough, it could potentially stop things from hitting you.
Well, I mean, you don't necessarily need to have a magnet. You would just have to find a way of generating a magnetic field.
Yes, exactly.
Like that. But, like, I guess, like, for those kind of things, generally the amount of energy it would take to create a magnetic field powerful enough for you to do something like that, because they have, I mean, you have, you know... what do they call those? Atom Smashers, you know. Those,
Hadron Collider.
Those create gigantic magnetic fields, but the amount of energy required to do that is just insane.
Right.
And so in any practical use, it's just not possible.
Not feasible, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, but, you know, cold fusion, you know, nuclear fusion, the warp drive.
No big deal. No big
deal. Once we're there,
stepping stones. Antimatter.
Alcubierre drive, right?
Say again?
Alcubierre drive?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the most interesting one.
Yeah.
What is that?
The Alcubierre drive. It's the idea of you're bending space around you.
Mm-hmm.
So the craft itself isn't actually moving at over light speed. Mm-hmm. You're running on like a shockwave. Like you're bending it around and space is pushing you from behind.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. Huh.
It's kind of another thing where you would need to be able to generate a massive amount of power.
So much power that you're bending time and space.
Yeah, right. I was going to say, it sounds like you're making a pocket of space-time in front of you and letting...
Kind of around you and like you're
moving through
a wave. And letting
it fill in, pushing behind you.
Yes, yeah, it's like surfing time.
Right.
Time surfer.
So like mathematically it's possible.
Yeah, but...
Yeah,
that's how we discover things, though.
Exactly not feasible yet.
Things that exist in nature can be described with mathematics. And so if you can describe something in mathematics, even though you've never seen it, that means it probably exists somewhere.
Because that's the thing. Even if we can go up to light speed, even if we get, like, everything's still so damn far away.
Yeah.
You have to be able to go past light speed to
make things reachable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a human's lifetime.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're trying to get from, like,
or
Mars,
cryo
or
something like that.
Anything farther than our solar system.
And then you have weird time. Like, have you seen the movie Interstellar?
Yes, I love Interstellar.
Yeah, and I mean, that's awesome a real movie. Thing. And they I mean, just the differences in time, theory of relativity plays in. Like, exactly. And that's a real concern once you get deep into space.
You have something to say.
I was just going
to
say that.
Oh.
As you approach speeds that are greater than light, time changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
So your idea, if we even approach closely to the speed of light, it could still exist in a lifetime because our lifetime would be extended.
Mm-hmm.
No, because the distance is still so far. So even if you can travel at light speed, you're aging normally inside still.
Your body's still decomposing at the same rate. I don't know if you can call it aging because it's not rotations around a sun.
But time works differently for those we leave behind, right?
Age is a measurement. So if your body is still going to be aging at the same rate.
Exactly,
So if it takes more than 100 years to get to this place,
measure time by rotations around the sun anymore, technically. I mean, that's how our calendar works, but the second is measured, like, with an atomic clock.
A second is a specific measurement.
It's changing.
Half-life of a certain... However, an atomic clock works.
And they find a new thing. They find a new thing, because before, it was measured by... It was, like, essentially... That was a weight measurement, but they just find really weird things to base these things off of. But they'll probably find something that's more accurate, quote unquote, or at least more consistent.
That's as accurate as we can get for now, at least.
Awesome. I don't know. if the world of Star Trek existed, I would live it.
I love space. Like anything space gets me.
Gets you hard.
If there was some sort of federation to where I could join and go explore the universe, I'd be the first on the fucking line. I'd just be like, let's go right now. With that kind of technology, I can just go.
Which is why, like, you know, I'm going to be Bill Nye right now or Neil deGrasse Tyson saying mathematics is the language of the universe and, you know, we as Americans need to be... Speaking the language, exactly. I mean, because in Star Trek, like, everybody knows quantum physics, but like, let me just attenuate the shield and, you know, something harmonics or whatever, and no problem, done.
Yeah, like that's not basic math.
I can totally figure out how to, you know, shield us from the weird effects of this
random ray of
quasar or whatever.
Fuck.
Like, I mean, it could be anything, and then... you know, and then later antimatter and and that's all. I mean, that's all I have. I'm just really excited for that kind of technology to start surface in any form.
Super cool that they're even looking into it.
Yeah,
like
because you see the value in that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, and like for them to say like, put it on a military Hummer, for instance, and then all of a sudden now they can like fight back against rocket launchers or rocket propelled grenades or something because it can. That's awesome as fuck.
That's how they'll get their. That's how they'll get their money. Is military
application. Oh yeah.
Well, military industrialism is still a thing.
Well, versus we went off. We started talking about space versus space like that. Yeah.
But who else needs force fields other than the military? Like, I don't need a force field.
Like,
my car blows another car back as he, like, collides with it.
It doesn't. This kind of force field doesn't really fit the bill for space travel. Yeah. But it could be a. There's an adaptation of it, you know, or at least the idea of a force field that would.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and there artificial gravity is going to be a thing at some point, so.
Again, it's all just stepping stones to get to the greater good, if you will.
When you put all these little
the
pieces
greater
together,
good.
And then you
can start to see where it's going. And I mean, you can see the natural
transparent
progression of
aluminum. That's going to be a thing.
I would love to have a clear can of Coke. That would be rad. That's the only application for transparent aluminum, by the way. It's just clear soda pops.
What about transporting whales?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right?
Did anybody else get that?
No, I got it. I just wanted to be a dick about it.
Computer.
Computer.
Hello, computer. Keyboard. How quaint. No, that's all I have for technology. We're done, I think.
High five,
yeah, seriously.
Force field, son. It's happening. Sunday.
So I think that's it for us this week.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Wrap her up, Daddy.
Check
I
us out.
You Daddy.
Daddy.
And Daddy.
All right, son.
Hey, hi, Poppy. I'm feeling the love.
Can we go now?
Hey, can we get the Anywhere cam first?
It's the podo.
Okay.
Get the shit straight. Because
that's not dirty.
No. Only if you make it so.
So
make it so.
Star Trek.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Check out our website, waitingforplayers.net. Click on our Amazon banner at the top.
That's right.
You can support us if you...
Doesn't cost you guys a dime, but it helps us out.
If you're buying shit on Amazon anyway, everybody is.
Let's be real.
Let us get some kickback.
I bought a shitty-ass tablet that didn't even work as soon as it came out of the box.
And what was the name of it? I mean, honestly, it sounded like it was...
I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. No, and that's what happens when we're doing development. Sometimes we'll be like, oh, this doesn't work on my tablet, and then I'll get the device model from the Android console and then Google it, and was like... What the fuck is that? Like who even has that? You're like the only person on the fucking planet that bought that. And so we disable it because we don't care.
Fuck you, that's
loser.
Why.
You're one of one. You don't count for shit.
I had something to bring up.
Oh yeah.
Not only is Mortal Kombat coming out this week,
mm-hmm.
but GTA Shape. Comes out on
oh, it does.
The same day.
Yeah.
The same
so
day.
So I was wondering if, like, in order to play online, you have to start a crew.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you guys would be amenable to calling our crew W4P.
Yes.
Yes.
No. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Fuck you, you can't be in the crew.
You're not in the crew.
And so, when the other PC users out there get to have GTA like us, look for W4P.
Come find us, play
and
with
we'll
us.
Kill you, bitches.
Or play against us. Yeah.
I will jack your car, steal your woman, and break into
and
your
then
house.
Run you over with the card I just stole from you.
Nice. Pretty much. Nice. Gun you down like the filthy whore you are. Sorry, that game does things to me.
Don't say that. Don't give politicians a reason based on quoting you.
Yeah. Even this kid gets all crazy and starts slaughtering people. Grand Theft Auto should be banned.
Okay.
On that note.
And on that note, we out.
And we're out.
Peace.